Gillingham, the header and in! Across the line! And Gillingham done it!
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. After a busy couple of weeks, we're back for another recording. We've got plenty to discuss and debate. Since our last podcast, now five new signings have arrived at Priestfield, and we'll be taking a close look at each of our latest additions, offering our thoughts on how successful we think they can all be in a Jules shirt in the coming season. Last week, the EFL revealed our fixtures for the upcoming season, and it's a case of Donny deja vu as we head to the Keep My Stadium on the opening day for the second time in three seasons. Burton at home, first up as well. We've heard that one before. We'll give our reaction to the league schedule for 2019-20, should I say. I mean, what's not to love about Blackpool and away on a cold Tuesday night in February?
No.
Lastly, remember Lars Hirschfeld? No, me neither. We'll end the podcast with a bit of fun as we look at some of your suggestions for players you could easily have forgotten ever even pulled on a Gillingham shirt. Joining me once again to offer their not-so-expert opinions on the aforementioned comments are James Hawkins.
Oh, what's that about?
And Josh Keeper Wells.
Well, all right.
Well, hello, everyone. Yeah, hello to you too.
Right, I'll get the bit about James, but I'm not having that. Jesus.
So we'll crack straight into it. Five new signings since we last spoke. Obviously, last time we spoke, we had obviously Conor Ogilvie signed permanently, and then Jack Bonham had signed by that point. But since then, we have had obviously Lee Hodgson, Stuart O'Keefe, Matty Willock. The Cisse, whose first name I'm not even going to try and pronounce. And then the one we signed today, which I'm going to try to... Michael Njoli, possibly?
That's not a bad go. That isn't a bad go. I'll give you that one.
If you've got a better suggestion...
Then we'll go with that.
We'll run with it. So we'll start with the eldest signing from now, which is obviously Lee Hodgson.
Yeah.
Who signed probably a couple of weeks ago now. Was it the weekend? Probably 2 weeks ago, a couple of weekends.
Yeah, I think so, 2 weeks.
Obviously come from Rangers, previous experience at our level with MK Dons, I believe.
Yeah, Watford as well.
Yeah, the two of you happy with the signing?
I'll let you go first, James.
Yeah, I remember him. I do remember him at Watford.
I don't.
but it's experience, isn't it? It's different to obviously the signings that we're going to get onto. And in order to be a successful team, you need youth and experience. And Lee Hodgson's been around clubs. He knows what he's doing. And he's come from a good club at Rangers under Steven Gerrard. So, we're not signing someone that doesn't know what they're doing. I'm more than happy with it. And I think it's a good replacement for Luke O'Neill going out the door. So, yeah.
Josh?
Unlike James, I don't remember him from Watford, but I do remember him at MK.
Right. I think,
same as James. Good player, good replacement for O'Neill. Same again, experience, good head. And not only that, obviously people are going to say, he can't get his way in a Scottish side, but they've got the best right back in that league by a country mile in James Tarbell. Yeah. So the fact he wasn't playing is no discrepancy on him. It's more... They have the best right back in the league. Really happy with it. I think for this level, really good signing.
Yeah, Steve Evans has said that he's a very, very accomplished and stylish attacking player, apparently. Obviously, signed predominantly as a right back, but his experience at left back and across the midfield four as well. Do you think that's another benefit? The fact that it seems that we've got someone that's quite versatile coming in.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm sure he's not coming in thinking, oh, I want to be a utility man.
Yeah, of course, he
sees himself as a right back, and he believes he can probably oust Barry Fuller into being that. But at least it's good to know that if needed, we've got someone that can fill in a couple of other positions.
Yeah, 100%. And you look at the versatile players we've had throughout the year, they've all been injury prone.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe him to be. Obviously it's good we've got someone that can play in a variety of positions. And even if he doesn't manage to beat Barry Fuller to the right back spot, he might play left back, might play across the middle four. So I think he will be in the side regularly next season, no matter where he plays. So
what do you think, James? Do you think he will end up being right back, or do you think it's going into pre-season a complete battle between
Barry
Fuller?
the comments Steve Evans made about Bradley Garmston earlier was fully suggested that he's backing Bradley to be his number one left back this season.
I don't know if you read, did you read the whole article?
Didn't read all of it.
He basically said, I want an actual left-sided defender playing left-back. So I think that rules out Barry Fuller playing at left-back anymore. Because he wants a left-footed player playing on the left. Which, for me, makes sense.
I think it does. How many times did we complain... Well, have we complained in the past two or three seasons that it's square pegs and, it's square pegs and round holes? People not playing in a natural side. To be honest, Barry Fuller done an outstanding job there last year, and he won player of the year because of
that. Was the best square peg in a round hole I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. But you probably get them one in every, 20, 30?
Yeah, and you think before this season he never played left back before.
Exactly that. But I think it's good competition, isn't it?
Of course it
and,
is.
And is Barry going to be able to play another 40 games?
Yeah, do you think... I'm not sure when's Fuller come back to the club last season. I don't think he probably expected to play quite as many games as he did in the end.
I don't think anyone else did either.
No.
So we all wrote him off last season. And like Steve Evans says at the Q&A, he wrote him off at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He won't be able to do this anymore. And he keeps coming back and proving people wrong. Yeah. I know it is cliche, but he is like a fine wine and he just does get better with age. Whether that will carry on... will be seen.
I think Bradley Garmston gets some for criticism.
Oh, he does. I've been.
I think he does. I think. But in my personal opinion, I think when he's fit and firing, Bradley Garmston's one of the best fullbacks in this division.
Yeah,
I think
he is.
That's the key when he's fit and firing.
Exactly.
But the problem, I think, Brad's one of these players that he needs a big run of games to get to that level. You can't just put him in for two games and then he ain't played very well. Take him out.
Again. Has he? I would suggest I don't think Bradley's probably been looked after properly in the past couple of years.
Well, yes, we'll soon see under new management. There's going to be a shake.
Did we in the last two or three? I know we've had James Russell under Lovell, didn't we? But before that, who was the fitness coach under Pennock? Did we?
Neil's dad from in between us, wasn't it?
There you go.
It was that game, wasn't it?
Says a lot.
Says a lot, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Could keep an eye on that.
But could good staff improve Bradley's fitness?
It's possible.
My struggle with Bradley, I know you both like him, and I do as well. However, my struggle with him is obviously his consistency. But every League One player struggles with consistency. That's why they're all in League One.
Yeah.
He's had his injury troubles. When he came here on loan, he was brilliant. Same Max. They both come at the same time, didn't they?
Both come online in the same window, yeah.
So he is and can be and will be a good player. It's just, like you say, a run of games. When he played consistently under the late Justin Edinburgh with Ryan Jackson on the other side, that 6 months, them two were the best fullbacks in the league by a country mile, and I will not be told otherwise. So the ability's there.
He's got all the attributes. A fullback in 2019, most of it is you judge more on your attacking than your defending. He's got the attributes to do it.
Well, his best game last season was against Premier League Cardiff, and he was one of our best players that day. He got forward. His crossing that it was really, really good, and I remember Eves missing one or two big chances, which Garmston created. Like I say, it's just him finding consistency.
Yeah,
which is the main. Or has been the main downfall so far for him. But hopefully, touch wood, next season's a little bit different.
Yeah, moving on to three midfield signings now that we've made in the last few weeks, which hasn't come as a surprise because at the Q&A, Evans made a big thing of that he felt the midfield was below par last season and it was going to be strengthened. So the first of those that come in was Stuart O'Keefe, who left Cardiff at the end of the season. And believe it or not, has played Premier League football with Crystal Palace and has also had loan spells at our level with Portsmouth and Plymouth. The odd one with Stuart O'Keefe is it seems like the team that he played for in the Premier League rate him higher than the teams that he played for in League One.
Yeah.
He seems to be rated more by Palace fans in the Premier League.
Maybe he couldn't get his head down though.
But I always think you don't always know if you're going to see the best of someone on loan. Or is he maybe one of these players that will be better once he's settled at a club that he knows he's got 2 years at to go into?
For me...
He was good at Cardiff as well in the Championship.
I don't think Steve Emmons is going to let anyone perform under par.
No.
Otherwise, they're not going to be in the team. As simple as that. But he's exactly what we need. Our midfield was a big problem last year, and it was the reason why. It was the reason why our home record was so poor, because our midfield was just I genuinely think because home games, you have to go at teams, and you look at our midfield last year where you had players that were of similar qualities and all were defensive minded. I think there was a couple of games, wasn't there, where like Burn, Riley and Bingham were all playing in the same midfield. They're all the same footballers. They're all the same footballers. Can't play like that. Not home anyway. And it was a big issue. And Evans was quite right when he said that he felt sorry for Connor and Max last year a lot of the time. And I thought them two were absolutely outstanding. Certainly Connor towards the back end of the season. But would we have shipped as many goals had the midfield not been as poor as it was? I think we would have been tighter for sure. I think the three midfield signings we've signed. Okay, from CSA. I don't think anyone's going to we'll be wanting to run into a 50-50 with them. Willock, I don't know a lot about. But he's another exciting youngster that comes from a good background at Manchester United. So they're all the right signings at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, Josh Evans describes O'Keefe as an energetic and competitive midfielder. Do you think that's what we need? Someone, it sounds like, won't be afraid to take a yellow card for the team or get stuck in as and when he needs to for the benefit of the team rather than his own discipline record.
I'll be honest, and you two might be surprised at this, he's the signing so far I'm most excited about. Just because, and you know what he reminds me of? He's just a higher quality Chai Lee.
Right, okay, yeah.
Who obviously me and James were lucky enough to meet and interview back in the day. And I love that. I love that side of midfield. I love dirty players. Just the bits that go unnoticed. I'd love him to have 15 yellow cards at the end of the season, pick up loads of awards, and I think he will be that player for us. And as James said, Cisse as well. I've only ever seen him once, and that was when we went to him head-on and we lost 1-0, was it?
Yeah.
At the start of the season. Yeah. And I remember him being really good that day. But obviously you can't judge a player on one game, as we found that with Amin Linganzi. But so far so good. Definitely the type of player we need. We didn't have it last season. We didn't have a bite in midfield at all. Which we definitely needed.
Yeah, so you touched on him there briefly, James. Matty Willock, who was next through the door. Obviously a younger midfielder who had left Manchester United. Had a spell last season at Crawley on loan. Towards the back end of last
season.
So.
Yes.
Opposite to you, Josh, Steve Evans thinks he's the signing that most excites him.
Yeah.
He says, given his ability, stature, strength, and unbelievable reference from United legend Nicky Butt, which I've not seen, but take his word for that. What do you think Matty Willock's going to offer to our midfield, James?
Looking at videos on him, he's certainly going to drive us forward. He's certainly not afraid to take the ball on and take people on and really get the full team going. What was a big problem last year was the midfield was that no one wanted it.
Yes.
And that was a big issue.
Was a big issue. It looked like we would, our back four would have possession, and our midfielders would go and mark their midfielders even though we had the ball. As if to say, I don't really want it.
How many times did we have a throw on the left-hand side or right-hand side and it just get thrown towards Eves and it'd get pulled?
Do you know the only midfielder that would drop back and come and pick the ball up? It was Oldacre.
Yeah.
All season.
Yeah. And when Bingham played, when he did, he wanted it. He weren't afraid to be on it.
And do you know what? I loved Billy Bingham. I thought he was fantastic, but it's keeping him fit.
Yeah.
The same as it was with Aaron Morris.
Yeah.
If we could have got him and Aaron Morris in the same side together as a double pivot, oh my word.
But I think it's important to be being a good side, you need people that want the ball.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the problem, is that last season, people were shying away from it. People weren't confident. And that gave a message off to the opponents that we obviously didn't want the ball, meant the opponents pushed higher up onto us and pressurised us, and then we ended up collapsing.
I don't think we've really had a player, like first team senior player, that's wanted the ball in midfield to attack left.
No.
We haven't.
Nope. Agree with that.
Which hopefully Matty will bring.
Yeah.
As James says, like, I hate judging players off YouTube videos, because you're only going to see the best bits.
Yeah. From what I've seen on YouTube, I think he makes Pogba look like a mug.
Well, he is the new Pogba. But listen, YouTube videos are there because they show, they're called highlights for a reason.
And also, he's been at Manchester United. He's going to have
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Last player we got from Man United, Fabian Brandy, doing backflips all over the shop, mate.
Yeah, his career died to death, but for us, he was really good. We had a penalty every week, I think, when he played for us.
And do you know what, looking at those videos, his passing range is really, really good. And I can't think of the last player we had that.
Yeah, that's another thing we want to see from a midfielder, isn't it? Like you said, Josh Oldacre's probably the only one that midfielder that has got the balls and isn't afraid to give the ball away, but try and play that killer pass forward. Whereas too often, when our midfield would get the ball, it'd be, we'll just knock it back to the centre halves and move it on. We'll play it square and move it on. Where what we want to start seeing now, especially at home, is that player willing to make that forward pass, or like you say, that forward run to try and create something. We need to be more exciting, especially at home.
I'm not expecting someone to drop down to Ogilvy, get the ball and run 80 yards.
No.
I just want someone to give it a bit, pass the ball forward, rather than standing off and letting Aimer just hoof the ball constantly, or Ogilvy hoof the ball, or looking for Barry Fuller to run 70 yards and whip the ball in. Because that's what we were doing last season.
Yeah. The thing is, in League One, is that if you play over the top of teams, or you try and play high and generally in the air, you're going to deal with it. If you try and play in between them and in between gaps and in behind them on the floor, you're going to hurt teams.
If we would have played like that last year without Eves, because we had the comfort of him being there, I think with that midfield we would have played that way anyway.
Yeah.
We would have been a mess.
Yeah.
And we would have been relegated, and we all know that because of the goals anyway. But I don't think we'll see that this year anyway, because the change in management. But two, the midfielders, I don't think we'll let that happen, which is a big, big thing, because it was our downfall last season, 100%.
And also, like you've touched on, Josh, the lad from MK Dons, Cisse arrived. When did he get? About a week ago.
He's a big, big boy.
Yes.
6'5".
Yes, played 32 games for MK Dons last season. Obviously, they were promoted from League 2 to League 1. He sounds like he played quite a big role in that, which is a promising sign.
Marley International.
Sounds like MK Dons fans were sad to see him go.
Yeah, I've generally read good things about him. I've seen a couple say sometimes he tries overplaying a little bit, but on the flip side, it sounds like he's another one that wants to be on the ball, which is no bad thing.
Like we say, I'd rather see someone lose the ball by trying going to do something and someone stand off.
Exactly.
But Evans has also said that he's in Cisse, that he's adding a key ingredient to the team that was missing last season, which is defensive power in a key area. So he's obviously got that side of his game to him as well, which is going to be important, because like you say, our goals for column last season wasn't too bad. Obviously much of that was Eves' contribution. The goals against Tally last season was embarrassing. Considering it was the same defenders that the year before had a really good record, it was embarrassing last season.
And the season before, all three of us were sitting around on the same podcast saying this defence is brilliant.
What the key is, Reeves, is that we haven't just signed players for the sake of it. We've signed three centre midfielders there that are all different footballers and all different, got different attributes. O'Keefe, breaking up the play. Cisse, looks like he's a box-to-box defensive midfielder. Willock... Willock looks like he's the player that can get on the ball and drive us forward. They're all different. They're three different midfielders. You look at the midfielders last year that we signed, it was just a case of, well, Josh Reese had come from
Bromley,
a non-league background. Parrott had not kicked a football in about a year.
Yeah.
And that was the issue, was that we were just signing players just for the sake of it.
When you said breaking up the play, all I could think of was Stephen Gregory.
Stephen
Gregory. And I started laughing.
Love Stephen Gregory. But this is obviously, with obviously Evans coming in and whatever, and I know a lot of people, and I get it, sort of say, oh, it was wrong that sort of Evans was over watching Lovell's team, sort of everyone's speculating he was going to get the job. But on the flip side of that, at least that means that he's seen us in competitive football, and he could, from that, he could go, right, I need one of them, as opposed to a manager at the end of the season coming in blind
and not necessarily
knowing exactly what the team needs. With the way things have panned out, Evans has seen us play, knows exactly what we lack and what our strengths are,
exactly,
and can build around that.
Because the last time that happened, obviously, it was Peter Taylor that took over. But do you know what? He's good at actually recruiting players, recruits good players. Egan and such players. Just couldn't manage them.
Nah.
So he actually done a good job with that. He can't manage football. Like you say, Evans has done really well. He highlighted the problems. Looks like he sorted them out. So, fair play.
Yeah, and obviously, this afternoon, we was treated to another one. Another tricky name to pronounce, but I think it is Michael Njoli. I would assume the D's a bit silent. He's come on loan, the first loan signing so far.
Yes.
From Bournemouth. He's a forward, a winger, I'm not too sure. Can he play either or?
Bit of both, yeah. I think.
I don't know a lot about him myself. I don't know about either of you two.
Nope, I haven't got a clue.
Apparently he's very, very quick though.
Meant to be absolutely rapid.
Which is another thing we could have done a bit more of, especially in wide areas.
And
I was looking at
couldn't finish a ball as well.
Yeah, I was looking at Bournemouth's Twitter account. And their fans are saying he's raw, but like really, really quick. And wants the ball, so I'm happy with that. Pace gets you off your seat. As a fan.
Yeah, someone that's willing to go past the player.
What I'm quite interested in seeing is he going to be strong enough to play men's football? Where Hanlon, it took him 6-7 months to adapt, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then he started scoring goals because he was just far too weak at the start. It's going to be quite interesting that, because he's had experience at Kilmarnock, but
they've done really well last year though, qualified for Europe.
Yeah, they did. Under a good manager. But no disrespect, is it as physical as the English game?
I don't know. What I like about this one is, I've got to be honest, I don't know a lot about him. I'm not sure he is going to be one that's in the first 11 every single week.
No.
But I do think he is a key component we lacked last season, where it's a really good attacking option for us to bring on and try and change a game if we need to. Yeah, I look back to Justin Edinburgh and Peter Taylor, I think, when McGlashan was here. I didn't think he was a very good footballer. But so many times he would come off the bench and create a goal or score a goal just because of his raw pace.
Yeah, exactly.
And last season, we didn't have that to bring off the bench.
Jermaine McGlashan had no technical ability.
No. But he made things happen when he come on. Because League One defenders don't like pace against them.
It's
natural. So I think this could, necessarily not starting every week, but this could be a signing that really helps us off the bench pick up results.
100%. Last 15, 20 minutes, I think he may have that role, because I think he's right-sided midfielder when he plays on the wing.
Okay.
I think. Obviously, I'm not too sure. I could be completely wrong. I don't know whether what formation we're going to play.
I don't know whether we're going to start
with wingers, or because he's the only one we've got at the moment, I think. Yeah. I'm not too sure whether it should be a change of formation and bang, there you go, there's your pace. Or whether we'll be playing 4-4-2, or it seems to be, well, don't know yet. No one knows.
No, so that's the signings for now. Obviously, more will come over the course of the summer. Because you'd say we'd still need another goalkeeper.
I think a couple of strikers. I think we'll have some outgoings for next podcast as well.
I think by the time we next get together again, there will be more movement. Probably a couple more in, a couple out. That's all on the transfer business for now. So moving on to the fixtures. There's not a lot we can say about the fixtures. They are what they are.
We play everyone twice.
Yes. over 46 games between August and May. Doncaster first again.
Boring.
It's a bit boring, but it's a nice winnable game to start the season, isn't it? Especially with a new their manager leaving. It's a good opportunity, I think, to start the season well.
When the fixtures come out, I was like, tough game to start. Boring. Now the manager's left is a little bit different. They've left them in the lurch, really, because they've not really signed anyone.
No. I don't think they saw that coming, to be honest.
No, I don't think they did.
It's just a shame that we won't see it coming when Evan goes and replaces him. That's a load of nonsense.
What a load of nonsense is. Yeah, right. Maybe might be what the Posh chairman said. He might just be trying to get a few more signings out of Scally.
Maybe.
And just threw his name out there.
But it's only rumour come from betting anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Daryl Clark was still on our betting for 2 weeks after he'd taken the Walsall job, so you can't read a lot into
how often
it.
How often do you see Dennis Wise up there in the betting market? Well, yeah. Pulling
I found it quite funny that I was just looking at Twitter and some rumours account have just tweeted that Millwall were about to sign Josh Wright.
Oh, right. Yeah. He signed for Orient a week.
Yeah,
as we had, was it last season? Burton at home, first game.
Yep.
First home game.
Luke O'Neill, free kick.
Yeah, we won that 3-1.
We outplayed them.
We won the
game. Hanlon had about 50 chances.
That's right.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Of course he did.
So the first couple of fixtures were a good opportunity to get early points on the board. I think the first month of the season is quite good fixtures for us. I think we've got Coventry in there.
Coventry, yeah. At
Bolton. Yes, Coventry at St Andrews, which would be exciting, a ground I've not been to before.
No, I've been there, done it. Was you not there in the League Cup when we lost?
Oh, was.
No.
2-0, yeah. Ben Williams up front, that was painful.
Yeah,
it was painful.
Sunderland away is on a Saturday, which I'm sure will please everyone.
My birthday weekend. Being a really? Bloody pub.
Being a Tuesday.
Newcastle.
Ipswich away on Boxing Day.
That would be a pain to get to.
Well, yeah. Well, it's all right, we've got taxi service here. and yeah, Bristol Rovers at home to finish.
Nice, winnable one.
This is a home game. I prefer finishing at home. Depends if our away home form picks up this season.
Yeah, at least we'll be able to lift the trophy at home.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly, like we did in League Two. And obviously the EFL Cup, for the first time it seems like in years, we've been given a home draw in the EFL Cup.
That one was boring as well, wasn't it?
Newport. But
Michael Flynn.
Nice to see Michael Flynn cover. And also, in round one of the EFL Cup, what do you want? You want a winnable game.
Yeah.
It's a game we should win.
Yeah, it is.
I'd like to see some money raised at night for the Edinburgh Fund.
Yeah, I'd like to think that there'll be some.
I'd hope so.
Some talks gone into that.
I hope.
Because obviously, he's managed both clubs.
Because I'm pretty sure some fans are asking us to play Orient in pre-season, which obviously hasn't happened.
Yeah, I did see some people suggesting that.
Have you seen the things at Cheltenham? The flags.
Yes,
that Cheltenham fans have done. Yeah.
We haven't, and we probably should, to be honest. Yeah, obviously it was a couple of weeks ago.
Because I think it was the day after we filmed our podcast.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
The news broke.
Massive shock.
Yeah, I still can't believe it.
No, me neither. No. It's one of them things as well that sometimes it's not till tragic things like this happen that you actually realise just how popular someone was.
Yeah.
And big names and personalities in football were obviously outpouring of love for him. I've seen some people say it, and it is a shame it takes something like this to remember the good that people did for a club, but it does then make you sit back and remember just how good we was for a year under him.
Yeah, we was.
Because
yeah.
I think if you'd have asked any Jules fan 3 weeks ago about Edinburgh, they would have remembered how it ended, rather than if you asked them now, it'd be
the good times. I would probably go as far as saying that he was. In my years of supporting Jules, apart from Martin Allen, of course, that year under him, he was my favourite manager.
Yeah, it was.
After the title season, I've told you that was the most enjoyable season I've had.
I met him at Player of the Year. What a gentleman. Like, such a nice guy. Willing to talk to people. Was just so welcoming and friendly. And just a real talent. An absolute talent. And, yeah, just a real shame that He's obviously gone at such a young age, and
a bloody good footballer as well.
Yeah. And what he's done at Orient, it's not easy to get out of that National League, and the amount of players that come out and said you weren't only a manager, you were a friend, and that's what he made people feel like. Bradley Dack has said in so many interviews that if it weren't for Justin, that his career would have maybe gone a different way, and yeah. It's just so sad that he's died at such a young age, and I really hope that the fair play to the club and fair play to Mr. Scally for putting on obviously the book of condolences and showing real love and support and putting you know what, feeling being really personal and putting the differences that them two had to one side for just one moment, and I think he realised that what that man did for the football club, and like we've all said that he made He made all three of us and every other Jules fan believe that we were going to come back into the Championship again.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a real shame, a real shame that he's gone, because I would have loved to have seen Orient right back at the top with him at
the helm. It would have been really interesting to see. I'm sure he would have carried on the good work at Orient, because momentum from non-league into League Two is such a big thing as well, and someone that's experienced at that level, he's been promoted a couple of times now. So
football aside, he's a lovely bloke, as James says. I had the pleasure of meeting him twice, and one of my dad's close friends is actually ex-Newport player Lee Mitchell, who played under Justin, and I know that they both stayed in touch once Justin left Newport and etc. And Lee's lucky enough to have like a young family now, and Justin was there every step of the way for Lee.
Yeah.
It's like kids' birthdays. I remember he went to the kids' birthday party when it was on Justin's birthday. So like he was there all day celebrating someone else's like two-year-old's birthday rather than his own, because he used to play for him.
Just put everyone first, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, really nice bloke, and we can all have regrets about how it ended, because
of course, but it's football. It was a shame, but it's football.
Exactly, football's famously cutthroat. But he gave me some of my best memories as a Jules fan. 100%,
without a doubt. Without a doubt, I'm sure every Jules fan will feel the same on that.
I'll never forget that day at Millwall, that day at Swindon.
Sheffield United at home,
brilliant. Yeah. Imagine off the Davy just starting from nowhere.
Watford away,
yeah.
Countless chance for us to go to White Hart Lane in the finals. That wasn't a great performance that day, but the opportunity to go there
allowed his own dream to go to White Hart Lane, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And manage a team against his team. And what a nice feeling to be that football club that lived his dream at White Hart Lane. So there you go.
Definitely all our thoughts with his family.
Yeah, of course, massively. That's been incredibly difficult. But yeah, we'll move on.
Go and spend your money in the foundation that Charlie set up.
100%.
Is it JE3 Foundation?
We'll give that a retweet.
Can we leave a link to that?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we'll post that on Twitter. So that's there for everyone to see. But we'll try and end the podcast on a lighter note. Very good idea from Josh, actually.
You're welcome.
To run the game of the Gillingham edition of I completely forgot he ever played for them.
Jesus, got so many replies.
They've got a lot of replies, and some that genuinely stumped me.
I'm not saying I am a football genius, but
some I work out easier than others.
Should we make an 11?
I'll give you names and try and make yourself an 11.
Wow. Right.
I know my left back.
Mark Walder Boz has put Matt Fry in here. That's Matt Fry. And he's put another picture in here. Not a clue. Who's that? Any idea?
Oh no.
I don't know if it says in the comments.
I've got no clue.
Adam Bygrave.
Is that Adam Bygrave?
Wow.
Connor Peck has said Adam Chickson.
No, I think everyone remembers Chickson though.
Joe Collett Cramp.
Because that season we had like five left backs on that.
Yeah. Danny Hollands. I vaguely remember Danny Hollands.
Yeah, I
like
Danny Hollands. Is it Easton?
James Walker.
Who was that centre half that played under Simpson? The bald guy that played for Tranmere. Is it Coop or Cup or whatever his name was? Is it Danny Cup or something like that?
Danny Cup. Yeah, I remember the name Danny
Cup. I've got no idea.
I vaguely remember the name.
I've got another one now. Do you remember Lewis Cumbers? You come through the academy.
Lewis Cumbers. Yeah. Someone's put a picture of. Do you remember Michael Richardson, who signed for us on loan in the title winning season?
Ryan Williams.
The ginger lad.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams. Never played.
Yeah. Who else have we got? Josh Pritchard. We've had sent. Do you remember that one assist at Preston away?
Unreal. It's that ping.
You know the only thing.
Believe it or not, I actually see him play for an Australian team against Tottenham at White Hart Lane.
The year before you signed for us.
The only thing I remember him for is being absolutely awful at Fleetwood away. That was horrible. We lost 1-0 under Peter Taylor, and the closest we come to scoring a goal was a John Egan free kick from 30 yards out.
Someone has sent a picture of in the lovely pink Jules kit that we used to have. Do you remember Connor Smith?
Yeah.
That we had on loan from Watford. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing with his career.
The Irish midfielder.
Rubbish.
A couple of people have sent in Andy White. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. He signed with Stephen Payne.
Yes, come with Stephen Payne. Andy White. I think he came from Reading.
Yeah, he did. Stephen Payne came from Fulham.
George's Bar. Owen, George's Stanley, Bar, Julian Hart.
Bruce and Kango in there as well.
Bruce and Kango, oh dear. Who else have we got?
Albert Jarrett.
Jesus. Gary Wales. Anyone remember Gary Wales? I think that was under Neil Cooper.
I want the first one I sent in read out, please.
He
was on the bench against Orient when we lost 5-1. Gary Borrowdale.
Gary Borrowdale.
So he was at Tunbridge Angels on £200 a week, and then we.
He is now, believe it or not, the head of coaching at Greenway Aces in the Kent League.
How did you know that?
There's a lot.
Firm Google search that. Is that
no, I know it. I know it because we got offered a coaching role at Greenway Aces. Yeah. And we got told that Gary Borrowdale was the head of coaching.
Dean Murray has sent us a picture of Tommy Forecast, which, if we all forget he ever played for Gills, that would probably be best for all involved.
England's number two.
Someone has sent Roman Lariou. Do you remember him playing that season? We had a lot of goalkeepers.
Derek Stilley.
He was actually very good as well, Roman Lariou. He was a very good goalkeeper.
Lance Cronin. Was he put in there?
Darren Randolph.
Trevor Benjamin. Do you remember Trevor Benjamin?
Jesus Christ.
Rowan Vine, do you remember
Rowan Vine. He's got a very good goal at home.
Scott Vernon played 45 minutes for us.
At NK Dons away.
And then got injured and never got seen again. Yeah. Stanley Abora.
I was just about to say that.
Played 13 minutes for us off the bench at Bradford away. Apparently he was too good for us, which is why Hudson Tyler let him go.
Right, okay.
Andrew O'Neill was sent in Ewan Roberts. Do you remember him from the Championship days?
I do, yeah.
Playing with Darren Byfield up front.
He was, wasn't he at Norwich?
Roberts he played for
Norwich. Stuart Thurgood. Steve Claridge, a couple of people have sent him, played one game for us. Also played for probably everyone in the Football League at some stage during his career.
He's definitely done.
He's got the longest CV in football, I think.
I sent in Donovan Simmons.
Yes, Donovan Simmons. Bass Savage, we've had.
Did the men walk at Cheltenham away?
Yeah.
Another one from Andrew O'Neill. A lot of people recognised him and said he was really, really good.
Go on.
I didn't.
Tommy Black.
Tommy Black.
Yeah.
No.
He was awesome.
No.
He was absolutely awesome.
No idea, mate. No idea.
He was awesome. I remember him.
I'm with you.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he was awesome.
You,
But I was watching Jules when we played in that kit.
Yeah,
he was brilliant.
Don't recall him.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Joker 4.
Do you remember his hat trick at home?
Yes.
Tyrone Berry.
Lewis Hart with a good one. Jesse Starkey.
Yeah. Wow. I see someone put Rene Steer in the year we got promoted, that was.
Rene Steer.
We've had.
Didn't we have another loanee from like a Premier League team that year? Rene Steer. We had two of them. We definitely had two.
Don't know.
We definitely had two. I know I for a know fact the name. We did. Rene Steer and someone else. I don't know whether there was like a left back or.
Don't know.
We definitely had someone else. I can't remember who it was.
Someone sent in Wolf from Gladiators, played half a reserve game for us at some point, which is an interesting one. Russell Cox of Dean Marnie, who went on to bigger and better things, didn't he? Played in the Premier League.
I didn't even realise he played for us.
Charlie Daniels as well played for us on loan back in the day.
Banging free kick against Greenwich.
Mike Gammon sent in Mark McCammon. Unfortunately, I think we all probably
do remember him.
Neil Harris played for us on loan once upon a time.
Yeah. He scored the winner our first ever game at Jules.
I remember
that. Blackpool home, we won 2-1, he scored the winner.
GFC Blue said Jacob Erskine, do you remember him?
Wow.
Yeah, I remember
Erskine.
Rennie Howell.
Georgie Boxall, Steve Lomas.
I've got training top at home from Rennie Howell.
Have you?
Yeah, I don't know
Miles Crozier said John Messina played for us for four games.
I think the answer to this, we've had a lot of fucking shit, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Georgie Boxall also said Felix Bastians. Do you remember?
Yeah, the thing. Goal at Bristol City away.
And, the one I mentioned in the intro, Lars Hertzfeld, the goalkeeper on loan from Tottenham.
I don't remember him.
I don't remember him. Do you remember Darren Hawkes?
Darren Hawkes,
Darren Hawkes.
You know, he's only 26.
Is he?
Currently now.
Where is he now?
Nowhere.
See, Tom Haddon signed for Eastbourne the other day.
Yes. Yeah, decent move for him. Darren Randolph's played for us, if you remember.
Yeah,
I said that about 5 minutes ago.
Can't ever see him anymore. I know, and only the one I put with a tweet, Robbie Finlay from the Championship.
Robbie Finlay,
played a couple of times.
League winning season, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What American team did we get him from? Was it DC?
We got him from Nottingham Forest, but he come from an American team.
Nottingham Forest?
I don't know who. Wow. I don't know what he does with it. I assume he's back in America now. Lots of them, and you could probably put an 11 together. I don't think it would win you too many football matches.
I don't think it would,
to be honest.
Well.
But let's hope that the signings this summer are ones that we will remember.
Maybe we'll get people to send them into us
for the right reasons.
Yeah,
maybe we'll follow it up and get people to send their 11s.
Who's that
I'll give you 10 seconds.
Who was it that played right wing back against Bolton when we lost 4-0?
Ollie Muldoon.
Ollie Muldoon. Ollie Muldoon, that's the one.
Yeah.
That is the one.
Yeah, another him and
Jesse Starkey. But didn't they come in the same window?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah.
That was a fantastic window Panic for Mr. Andy Panic.
Yeah. But hopefully the result of bringing in an experienced and proven manager will mean the signings will be more difficult to forget and easier to remember for positive reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's us covered for the latest podcast. Hopefully we won't leave it 2 weeks before the next one. Hopefully we'll be able to get together again in the week's time. Yeah. Providing there's been news. If nothing's happened between now and then we won't. But like you say, Josh, I'd have thought the likelihood is there's going to be more movement between now and then, or some capacity.
Yeah.
And then also, pre-season will have started by then.
6th of July. Yeah, tomorrow, next Saturday, our first game.
The players are coming in tomorrow to start things off. So, yeah, it's all going to start moving again. Now the countdown is well and truly on to the new season, and it will be back before we know it.
Just want to say well done to the CEO and Steve Evans so far.
Yes, it's all good work so far.
Very good.
And also the frequent videos with Steve Evans sort of informing the fans, like what happened under Allen. It's good to keep that link between fans, keep us up to date.
He was like that at Peterborough, he's very, very like that.
It's good to keep everyone up to date with what's going on. We know where we stand, we know what's happening, we know what might be happening when. It's all good. So yeah, at the moment, all positive stuff. As ever, thanks for listening. And lastly, up the Jills.
Up the Jills.